We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, and you're very welcome to Your Politics podcast from RTÉ News. I'm Paul Cunningham. It's our first day back at political school, and joining me here in studio is Sandra Hurley, and all of her books are covered in wallpaper, and she's ready to rock for the next oil term. Sandra, how are you doing?
Really good, Paul. Delighted to be back. Excited about all the think-ins.
It sounds fantastic. And coming from a think-in up in County Cavan is our Micheál Lehane, who's polished his school bag and he's waiting to write out lots of notes of interesting things that Fianna Fáil TDs might say to him on or off the record. Micheál, how are you?
Good. You hear the birds in the background. Apparently, that's the only tweeting we're going to get out of this meeting. Apparently, the word has gone out that mobile phones for the Fianna Fáil TD senators and MEPs are to be left outside the door. Don't know whether it will happen or not, but they've just gone in for this key meeting, which Niamh Smith, the Cavan Monaghan TD, described as an act of contrition and then an act of confession. So it's biblical in proportions, let's say.
Is that, one would read into that, that we're all guilty?
Well, there definitely, according to the report compiled by Sean Fleming, is a sense of collective guilt across Fianna Fáil for losing its identity, and they point to the confidence and supply arrangement with the Odias. He arrived here earlier, speaking in Jesuitical terms when it came to the leadership, saying of course he supports the leader because he is a member of the biggest party in the Dáil, and if he didn't support the leader he'd have to resign the whip. But it wasn't about that today, but clearly that key finding is where the focus seems to be, or where they're trying to put the focus, this search for identity within the room. But if you looked at some people before they went into that room, especially a group down the back of the foyer outside the main hall, including Michael Moynihan and Barry Cowan. Barry Cowan's demeanour, slightly more relaxed. Michael Moynihan's expression, steadfast in its intensity, let's say.
It was interesting to see a certain Cork deputy profess his loyalty to the leader on the way into the meeting.
Absolutely, and there was no ambiguity, as James O'Connor was one of the first to arrive in here today and profess absolute confidence in Micheál Martin, whom he says he has a great working relationship with. Of course, James O'Connor is interesting. He's the youngest TD in the Dáil, and he is someone who spoke in strident terms back in the days when Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meetings used to be fed live on Twitter, effectively, about how it had no connection with younger people, and really was lambasted by some of his colleagues for the stance he took and the fact that it was so well publicised. It's a different man arriving in here today. All of that, though, if you think James O'Connor, if you think that James O'Connor is more than likely aligned with the Jim O'Callaghan camp of the party, that group, and they would be seen as the group that would, if any move were to be made at any point in the future, to be the most effectively organised. Well, they're doing nothing for quite some time yet, it seems, and definitely not today.
So you're talking us down now, beginning to sound like a damp squib.
Well, I don't know. I think before the TDs went in, the view was, despite all calls for unity outside, that there were going to be, in the words of one, quite a few outbursts. There has to be. Some people say that this could all wrap at 7 o'clock. Barry Cowan was saying earlier that there's no way it'll wrap before 11 o'clock tonight. There's a lot to go through. So I don't think it'll be a damn squib, but I don't think it'll be amount to a leadership challenge. Micheál Martin himself, philosophical, when I put it to him earlier on that question of, well, maybe there's no immediate threat, but not many, or indeed a majority, don't seem enthused about the prospect of him staying for the duration of this government. He said he's been in the parliamentary party over 25 years. There's never been agreement on leadership, and it's his job to listen.
I was going to say, let's put a bet on how long the meeting is going to last. But from this podcast, we've learned that Micheál Lehane has a questionable record of actually coughing up when it comes to losing bets. Oh. So we'll just move swiftly along to Sandra Hurley. Sandra, when it comes to these think-ins, Fianna Fáil is not the first. The Soc Dems are quick out of the traps, already had theirs. What did we learn from their thinking?
Yes, the Social Democrats think-in was on Monday. I suppose slightly less focus on it than the kind of feverish atmosphere that we've seen in advance of the Fianna Fáil gathering. So the Social Democrats, it was just the six TDs meeting in person with a few outside speakers on health, housing, climate, the kind of the key issues. And really, it was an opportunity, I think, let's face it, a sort of media opportunity to get the press there and ask questions about anything generally. Where are the party at? Privately speaking to some in the party, you get a picture of where they're looking to. They've had a good run in this Dáil. They're up in the polls. They're pulling away from Labour. And they are publicly targeting, they say, 18 seats in the next election. That would be tripling what they have now. But privately, it's probably more realistic to seriously target six. They're looking at places around Dublin, those marginal seats held by Green Party TDs and some on the far left who would have benefited from that Sinn Féin surplus back in 2020 when Sinn Féin didn't have second candidates in most constituencies. Now, of course, other people will be targeting those as well, and they need to find the right candidates. Other things they were talking about, they were slightly exasperated, I think, to have to deal with questions again from the media about a possible merger with Labour.
They love that question.
They are tired, sick and tired of that question. So Roisin Shortall in particular, really dismissive of it. Of course, she was in that Fine Gael Labour government, but quit halfway through. And, you know, she talked about Labour and government making choices that were really anathema to the party. And she said, you know, you don't sell your soul to get into government. So certainly giving Labour a good kick.
Again,
yes.
And what about the fantastic question of leadership? We were just talking about leadership with Fianna Fáil. What about leadership or co-leadership with the Soc Dems?
Yeah, that's an interesting one because we had a little rumble, a very small rumble over the summer. I think at the end of July, a letter was circulated that seems to have come from members, but it had been signed by two party councillors calling for a conversation about the leadership and a leadership contest. But it was curious because according to Catherine Murphy, who spoke about it on Monday, she said that it was circulated to the media. It didn't actually make it to headquarters, to the National Executive. And if you read the letter, it praised the party for and the leadership for doing well, but it just said, well, we need to have a leadership contest. But it was it seemed to absolutely die a death at the time, really wasn't pushed any further. Nobody in the parliamentary party came out to endorse it. And the message earlier this week was the leadership are staying in place. We put a process in place after the next election. And both of them said they would lead the party into the next election.
OK, well, these are the two parliamentary party think-ins that are either on or have happened. We might just do a quick fire round on the ones that are upcoming. Micheál, if I can talk to you, Sinn Féin were due to have a digital online think-in and that ended up being put back due to COVID. Can you tell us more about that?
No, actually. That's all I know.
Just that Michelle O'Neill had her COVID status and therefore...
Mary Lou McDonald speaking yesterday said that they did have an online event and they'll probably have some kind of gathering next Tuesday as well. I mean, for Sinn Féin, I suppose the big decision that they have to make in the next few days is whether or not they do go the distance and table that no confidence motion in Simon Coveney or not. That would certainly begin the new Dáil term with quite a degree of, what would you call it, in intensity or momentum from an opposition's party point of view.
But it's risky, I guess, Micheál, is that you can't use those every week. So if you use it on Simon Coveney, it means you can't go on housing or you can't go on something like homelessness or you can't go on something like waiting lists, real issues which have an immediate impact on people's lives. So what's your gut feeling? Would you call it on whether they're going to go for Coveney or not?
I think there is an opportunity here. And of course, all these things are driven by circumstances. And there's an opportunity from an opposition perspective to watch those Fianna Fáil TDs who have, in simplest terms, really voiced disbelief at committee level to what Simon Coveney had to say when explaining the Catherine Zappone appointment. But you still feel the numbers are sufficient for government there. And as you were pointing out, would it be more opportune to wait? But there may not be a better opportunity where the government has been on the back foot to such an extent for quite some time. But maybe there will. I think they may just do it. I think they may just do it.
I'll come in and say I don't think they will. Just, you know, to add some tension to the podcast. It's really boring if we all agree with each other. I think they're kind of dragging it out a bit because today Matt Carty was out on it saying, you know, the party needs to hear directly from the Taoiseach about what he's going to do with Simon Coveney. But it was pointed out to him that the Taoiseach has expressed confidence in Simon Coveney. It's very clear that the leadership of Fianna Fáil are backing the minister. Yesterday, Mary Lou McDonald seemed to push it further and suggest that really the Taoiseach needed to sack the minister, and if there wasn't an appropriate sanction, they'd move in with a no confidence motion. I think they're really dragging it out, and my sense at this stage is they probably won't do it, but hey, I could be proved wrong, so we'll see next week. Let's not put money on it though.
Okay, well, we have a Fine Gael party which is due to meet. I think they're having some small event on the Sunday, and then they've got a 2-day thinking on the Monday and Tuesday in County Trim. Sandra, how is the party going into that thinking, given it's been a fairly bruising few days?
Yes, it has definitely been a bruising few days. And as we've been mentioning, all the focus has been on Fianna Fáil. But when you think about it, the upper echelons of Fine Gael, I'm not sure it's entirely happy there either. Obviously, Simon Coveney has been through the mill. He came in very contrite on Tuesday, really noticeable change in tone, but he's going to have to do that in person to all the parliamentary party. He may have been talking to them on the phone and making amends for what is clearly a giant mess of his making. But I think there are other relationships there that may be a little strained as well. When you think that when it comes to Leo Varadkar, we all know that his publishing of those text messages, that really put the spotlight back on Simon Coveney. Pascal Donoghue, of course, has been dragged into it. So I think everything not totally perfect within Fine Gael either. And I think that there's likely to be some stern words there also.
Micheál, what's your sense of it from Fine Gael? They're, you know, still in that position to take over the Taoiseach seat. They do have those senior ministries of finance and foreign affairs and justice. You know, to a certain extent, the party has managed to skip over the difficulties of the general election and move forward. But how do you read the tea leaves?
I think they have this problem now that's being voiced all the time, that they have been in power a long time. And when they go through a controversy, really of their own making entirely, which they have gone through in the last period, well, then that give credence to that argument that, in the words of Simon Coveney, there is a degree of sloppiness coming into play. And that's evident. And that is something that causes a frustration at backbench level in particular, who are most perplexed as to how this controversy wasn't dealt with more effectively by the higher people within the party earlier in the summer. So as a result of that, of course, backbench TDs are inevitably thinking about the next election and thinking about the person that they appointed to lead them in those elections and to secure their seats and win more seats for others. And that inevitably puts a focus on Leo Varadkar.
I mean, Leo Varadkar, when he's asked this question, that you were there put in to win seats, it didn't happen in the Dublin Bay South by-election, it didn't happen in the general election, he will point to European and local European success and say, look there, you know, we did well.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, in GAA terms, it's the league versus the championship. And, you know, if you're in a league, you don't boast about it, really. Not for very long, anyway. And he knows that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. And it would, but of course, if the government does stay on track, and I suppose right now, despite the difficulties, everything suggests that it will, and that he would become Taoiseach again, well, then inevitably his position will strengthen.
Yeah. Let's move on. We've got two other parties we want to go through. Labour due to have their parliamentary party around the same time as Fine Gael. How are they going in? They have boosted their ranks by one TD.
Yeah, in one way, they're certainly going in on a high. They've got 7 TDs now. They've pulled away from the Social Democrats. That would be important to them, and it was a really significant victory. They're having their thinking in a thigh, and the reason we understand really is to highlight Jack Wall. They want to push him as a TD, and he's seen as probably their best chance in the next election. And I think that is probably the problem for the Labour Party, this concern that they haven't got the candidates in place to grow in the next election, and that the promotion will be on for their Kildare hope. But it's about that growth for the party. Where does it come from? And I think that's where the party has been having difficulty, even though I think some would perceive that Alan Kelly has been a good Dáil performer. He has held the Taoiseach to account. He's carved out his health area very well in COVID. But they're not pulling away in the opinion polls. They've been really stuck. They're noticing that gap that the Social Democrats is pulling away from them consistently in a kind of a trend across different opinion polls. And that is a problem for the party. So that future direction, I think, is still an issue.
And Micheál, what do you think about Alan Kelly? I hear that he was zooming up to Donegal, you know, starting to do that revitalising of the party, the thing he was expected to do, that organising quality he had. And yet at the same time, he seems in recent weeks or in recent months to sometimes be sort of high profile and then on other occasions just to be pulling back.
Certainly trying to pull back, trying to be more understated in approach, trying to develop his game, I suppose, in sporting parlance, to expand it more. I suppose, you see, and to stick with the sporting metaphors today, I think, I mean, they did get the Ivana Vacic win, which was against the run of play, and that does give them a degree of momentum. And if Alan Kelly has one attribute, those within the party, even his critics would seem to say that it does come to organising and organising at a local level. And he can do that now and he can travel across the country. So it will be interesting to see how that will translate when the next electoral contest comes, but in the opinion polls as well.
And while I have you, Micheál, then, the Green Party, where are they at?
You see, within the Green Party, that sense of division, despite the vote to go into government being fairly clear and decisive, does seem to be there all the time. And it's typified again now by the Brian Leddon controversy and those comments made online, which he has apologised for, and Catherine Martin, the deputy leader, yesterday expressing surprise and some degree of frustration that he wasn't sanctioned for that by the leadership. But as long as that divide is there, and there is a problem for the party, isn't there? And also the fact that you still feel with some of the Green Party ministers that they're making their way into their briefs slowly and perhaps only now fully getting across them. They do, compared to other parties, seem to have been slower at that.
We've been talking about the big parties, Sandra. We've got like the smaller parties like People Before Profit and Aintu and the Independents. What's the challenge for them coming into a new Dáil term and just trying to sort of make some waves?
I think it's always the challenge of trying to carve out an identity. And People Before Profit, they're having their think in tomorrow. Workers' rights, obviously, to the fore there. That's absolutely key to what they do. But they're also going big on housing and climate. But for the Independents, it's that difficulty of getting traction around particular issues. Do you focus on certain issues? Do you carve yourself out as that kind of single issue person? Because that's how some obviously get elected in the Dáil. But then it's trying to get coverage and get people behind you on that. It's always a difficulty. Aintu, again, for Padraig Tobin, you know, he is one, it's a party with one TD. Obviously, they have other representatives, but it's a constant battle, really, I think, to get a level of interest into their policy positions. Aintu has taken quite a different position a lot of the time on COVID, but I think that the party would feel that it hasn't got a lot of credit for that. And I just want to go back and say, I said Jack Wall for Labour. I was, of course, thinking of his son, Mark Wall.
Mark Wall, sure, passed me by as well, and Micheál Lahan, who didn't chip in either. Just want to put that on record. That's because for the past few hours...
I can't say anything. I'm here sitting outside a room. If I stood up and said, I'd have to say I'm on a podcast. Where, like Dom Jolly.
With birds tweeting around.
Micheál, have you found the whiskey stash? Because I've seen these pictures on Twitter that apparently all the TDs are getting a goodie bag with a little bottle
there
of Jameson.
There is a goodie bag.
And did you get one? Yeah.
Have you
there
declared
it?
Have you declared it?
Yeah, I didn't look at the... I haven't got one, but I saw there's a big table full of goodie bags. All right, yeah.
Okay, we're rattling on here. Just some of the big challenges, Micheál Lahan, you know, what are the big ticket items? Obviously, the budget is coming. I've just been writing up a blog on the carbon budget, and I could be cruel and ask you lots of difficult questions, technical questions on those numbers, but I won't because I'm a nice guy. What do you think the big...
Can't wait to read that blog. Open it up.
You set it up really well.
In the next sort of 2 months, what are the big ticket... Stop laughing. What are the next big ticket items?
Well, I think the budget, by the sounds of it and by the sounds of what Cabinet discussed yesterday, I mean, the Finance Minister and the Public Expenditure Minister seem to be fairly clear that the pandemic expenditure has to be wound down and that has to begin really in earnest in this budget. So apparently the contribution yesterday at Cabinet was sobering enough in that task. So that may prove problematic enough in the weeks ahead, because there has been a period where, despite all the difficulties in the world, and there were many tensions, I suppose spending money wasn't one of them in recent times.
And for you, Sandra, what sort of stands out? I'm just actually, as I'm listening to Micheál, I'm thinking we should actually get a tape of birds. And any time he ever speaks on the podcast again, we just have that like a little bed running underneath him. But on the big ticket items, what do you think? What are you watching out for?
It's chaffinches. Yeah, chaffinches, you know. Rirua, isn't that the Irish name for them?
Housing, obviously delivery and housing. I think there'll be an endless focus on housing. COVID is lifting. There's definitely that feeling that things are going well, that we're going to get the booster shots for some people, some older people. Hopefully restrictions won't have to be reimposed. But for the moment, it looks like that is going to lift and you're back to housing. You're back to health. And I think as well, we're going to obviously going to hear a lot about Sláintecare. Where is that going? But it's the waiting list now, because once you get COVID, once it's less of an absolute emergency, it's tackling those really lengthy waiting lists. And that's it's something real and tangible in people's lives.
I mean, I think the big thing for me and the reason why I'm writing that blog is we're going to have the first ever carbon budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
And it's going to come at us. And it's one of those things. Yeah. I'm not even sure how much people have sort of focused on it, but it's one of those things that's going to become real really quickly, and it's going to become a political issue where big decisions have to be taken, and that has the capacity to turn it into a royal theatre, if not an absolute bloodbath as well. So that's one particular thing I'm looking out for.
Micheál, I think the schools in the short term, though, I think that no one is quite sure politically how the opening of the schools and the whole systems around that when it comes to children getting COVID is going to play out in the weeks ahead. So while you do have that real sense of optimism, and even here as well among politicians about where things are at now in relation to COVID-19, that question of schools and keeping people, all as many as possible, at school all the time, that's not quite fully answered yet.
So you're basically hedging your bets and trying to squeeze in a couple of extra things just at the end of the podcast? Like?
No, I think the school question's there, isn't it? People in this hotel have been telling some of the arriving politicians that there's been staffing issues in the last few days with people, young children, who've had to stay out because they've been close contacts with people who have COVID. So it's and staff can't come to work as a result of it. So that's all there.
So it's a real one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final words, Micheál Lehane. Anything else crossing your mind as we sail away at the end of our first podcast on the return of the new Dáil term?
Nothing else is coming to my mind.
Kerry football, difficulties therein?
Yeah. And the question of leadership there too, and who gets to lead that Kerry team, a question for the days ahead.
Yeah, it's a short. Did you notice how short that sentence was?
Yeah, Sandra, I know. A little bitter, maybe. Yeah, I think the return of politicians full time to Leinster House, or pretty much full time, is going to make a huge difference to all of us. I think journalists are looking forward to, you know, cornering them down a narrow corridor. You know, when you ring somebody and they don't answer you, but if you see them make eye contact, it's more difficult for them to run away. So we're looking forward to business getting back to some sort of normality here,
and looking forward to it. Hopefully, that by the end of next month, with the social distancing concluding, we'll turn the cameras back on, we'll have a packed house here and the excitement will be irresistible. But for now, I'd like
to return to the Shannon and sit on the gallery there and take notes on the great debates
if you're not moved out.
Don't forget there's an upcoming by-election in the Shannon for a Vanabatrick seat, isn't there, as well?
That could be
interesting, a certain niche market like your carbon budget blog.
I look forward to your blog on the intricacies of the Trinity panel being filled. But for now, thank you very much for listening to Your Politics Podcast. I'd like to thank Micheál Lehane, political correspondent for RT, who is up in Cavan, and Sandra Hurley, who has joined me here on studio. Dimitri on sound, Jack on production, our editor is David Murphy. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be busy. Look forward to joining you next week.